Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. We are here discussing the eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 6 here on a Thursday night. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today, still in the car, is Godfrey Manguiza. How you doing, Godfrey?
How are you guys doing? Yeah, I'm all right. The usual.
Yes, the usual driving home.
Keeping up with the new season, you know. Yeah, roasting a few people on Twitter and whatnot. Yeah.
Yes, very exciting. Godfrey, I thought we were going to have to wait until he arrived home, but he called in being very safe. He's got a friend in the car helping him out.
I got somebody navigating.
Yes. So very excited to have Godfrey with us. And of course, with us as well is Brent Walgman. How are you doing, Brent?
I'm doing great. I'm actually stunned that they did not have Godfrey Manguiza as part of the museum for
exactly.
The HOH contest.
Thank you very much.
I don't know. Maybe it's because he was like, you know, in the middle, like the famous jump, they would have had to like had him on strings or something.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
That would have been
I'm like, are you kidding me? If you're talking about iconic moments, how was that not in there? I'm glad somebody mentioned it.
Yeah. Yes,
I didn't want to toot my own horn by saying it myself, but you know.
And I don't even know how. Like, if I'm just being real, like I'm just going to say from the outset, I don't even know how they got Sabrina to agree to this because she has not been a fan of Big Brother Canada and the editors ever since her stay on Big Brother Canada 2. So, like, I didn't even know how she agreed to come back in the first place.
It's like we have not seen Sabrina since when, guys?
And she's never says good things about Big Brother Canada. I don't know how they let her in the door.
it was an odd selection for sure. And it's really true. Like the most famous image from Big Brother Canada has to be Godfrey in the air. You've got to get some, some wires. You got to make this happen.
Something like that. It really needed to happen, Taryn. I don't know how it didn't happen.
Yes, or at the very least, have Godfrey like standing with a veto box in front of him, like your blood on these hands, something like that. But we have the chat room open on robhasawebsite.com. You can send questions into me at Armstrong Taryn on Twitter and chat with us. Send in some questions for Godfrey and about the episode, and we're gonna get right into this very very exciting episode. Jesse is the target of Hamza. He's making last minute pleas. Things are going crazy. Very, very exciting stuff, Godfrey.
Yeah, pretty crazy episode, to be quite honest. You know, it didn't end the way I expected. Like, I actually thought, what's his name? I actually thought Jesse was going to pull something out since he seemed to have the more relationships in the house. But surprisingly, like, Liv was actually able to rally some people with her, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a whole lot of story that got left out of the episode. I think if you aren't completely caught up on the feeds, you're probably lacking a lot of information in terms of how this went down. But that's why we're here. We're here to let you know.
I'd say the key piece of information from the episode that really was not there was that it was always easy to get Jesse to 5 votes. I could always find 5 votes for him. And he was frustrated that he couldn't, you know, that there were more people. You heard him in his eviction interview with Arissa saying, you know, well, you know, if they had committed, then that would have been 4. And we only needed 2 more. I'm like, honey, that was the problem from the beginning. That's the key piece of information that you don't know.
Exactly.
These 6 people who are voting against you over here are firm in their commitment to voting against you. And you really needed it's not the people in the room that were the problem. It's these other people you weren't talking to over here.
Yeah. So we start this episode off with the get us right out of the gate with some controversy. We relive the veto ceremony where Jesse is also pulling some crazy speeches. Nowhere near Godfrey level here. It was very very like you promised that you were
exactly.
How
it was
you?
More like bitterness than it was a plea to stay. It was more kind of like just him venting and kind of, you know, like just getting stuff off his chest. But I don't feel like that was any, like if I was sitting there, I wouldn't have seen that as a plea to stay. I would have just seen it as somebody salty trying to expose somebody.
Yeah, that's and basically also too, it didn't have a good stinger. You know what I mean? Like the thing about Godfrey's speeches was always like, "Men, I want your blood on these hands." Like, and
yeah, exactly. These ones they had ending. No climax.
There's a thing. There's a denouement. You know what I mean? There's something where it ends, and instead Jesse's just sort of petered out at the end. It was like, okay, I'm done.
But it did piss Hamza off, so yes. It succeeded in that regard, and we did see Hamza complaining, he can't bring Carolyn into this, that's not fair.
I never
that's
hear no her name.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, it's not that serious, Hamza.
Yeah, and it's something that the episodes have failed to portray is that Hamza is the one who brought Carolyn into it. Hamza offered up to swear on Carolyn, even though he knew he was potentially going to be lying at that point. So him getting upset about it is a little weird, but then the show portraying it as such is even more weird, I think.
Well, did you see, Taryn, that they did show Derek and Paris talking about the fact that it was actually Hams that brought up Carolyn's name first? And by the way, if I never hear her name again, it'll be too soon. So sick of hearing about this woman who I don't know, who apparently exactly like it's dear to Hamza, but he's willing to lie on her, and it just makes no sense whatsoever. Like,
yeah, it doesn't make any
stop
sense
talking about it.
Yes. We did see Derek say that Hamza brought it up first. Any discerning watcher is going to go back to the previous episode and be like, that's not true, Derek, you brought it up, which is a little unfortunate. We did get a brief scene from Marin with some music in the HOH room. I know Brent was very annoyed at this on Twitter, but I know
annoyed at it.
Oh. Well, Godfrey, what did you think about this scene? Because I know there are a lot of people that enjoy Marin and enjoyed this scene.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know, like, it just kind of hit me out of nowhere, you know. I was like, oh, okay, right, you know. It was just one of those things that just seemed like it was just like randomly placed in there, because I was like, is he even listening to that music, or did they just like add that on?
That's funny, actually. I don't know if they actually played the actual songs.
Because how would they know? Like, were they listening through the mic or what?
I don't know. Well, the problem I had with it was that it was so Joel BB Can 4. That's
exactly. Were, it's like, I'm like, is this becoming a theme of Big Brother that every season we got to have, like, you know, the sing-along in the HOH room? Or something like that, yeah.
Apparently.
How have you felt about Marin overall, Godfrey?
Like, to be honest, I feel like his game is playing pretty good right now. He's low-key. He's not putting his foot in his mouth. Like, he came in as a newbie on top of a newbie season. And I feel like he's done a pretty good job integrating himself into the house and not painting a target on his back by, like, running his mouth or just making a huge scene. So, like, I'm really impressed with the way he's been able to keep calm and kind of like not be too out there early on in the game.
Yeah, I'm impressed with how boring he is, Taryn.
That's another way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's playing the boring game, but it is the long game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes.
And if he makes it past the double eviction coming up, I really feel like he's going to have like a lot of pull in the house, given the fact that he's sort of a free agent right now. Like, him and Maddie are people that we're really not seeing that much of.
It's true. Sometimes you've got to be a sleeping giant, Brent.
Exactly, you know. Like, but you also got to wake and just sleep the whole entire time. Because we've seen some sleeping giants that have failed, that have tried to sleep halfway through the season, but they forgot to wake up. And then they ended up just getting voted, getting evicted. And, you know, and they were like kind of like just like a footnote in the season. So I hope he doesn't become that.
You have to do it smart. Like, a lot of people, they think, oh, that's the game, right? You can just sleep and you don't have to do anything. That's like,
you gotta be collecting information and setting yourself up, building relationships. You can't just chill and do nothing at all.
Yeah, for every strategic sleeper like Godfrey, there's a Christine from Big Brother Canada 4 who I bet nobody even remembers.
I don't know if I was going to say, who was I thinking about? I almost forgot. But somebody who also was low-key and had potential until they just eventually went home and we're like, oh, oops.
Yeah. Even Jesse, I think we can say, had a lot of potential. And, he was just a little too complacent. And
exactly. Look what happened to him now. Now he's going home.
Yeah.
And I bet he probably wishes he had gone a little more guns blazing and not being so low key. So like, it's like you do it, you know, like it's not everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah. So we also got a segment from Kayla and Derek, where Kayla was basically saying, like, Derek, he's being emotional about this whole Jesse thing. We can't be emotional. If Jesse is going to go home, I am not going to fight for. I am going to try and readjust and make sure it benefits my game. Derek, you have to just drop this and listen to me. This is what we're doing. And even though they didn't really show any of what Kayla was doing this week, I feel like they did get the overall, you know, generality of her attitude.
Exactly,
and how she
yeah.
played this week in that one scene.
Yeah, they gave it like a
because
cliff
I feel like Jesse has been fighting a little too. Derek has been a little too emotional and fighting too much for Jesse. Yeah.
Yes, Derek, and they didn't show this, but Paris, I think, even more so, has really yeah. been tanking her game of fighting for Jesse to stay, Brent.
Yeah, she has been. I was glad that they gave at least the Cliff Notes version of Kayla, because I think she's done some excellent work this week. Probably better work than I probably thought she was capable of doing. And that sounds a little bit harsh, but I really thought that she was sort of just coasting along as a showmance. But I think this week, and the fact that it didn't go exactly the way she thought maybe it was going to go, maybe woke her up a little bit. Like, honey, there's a game happening around you and you better get involved. Otherwise, you're going to be left out in the cold. And to my eyes, she has gotten involved and she is in the game now. And I didn't really feel like that before. Before, I thought she was just one of the pretty people in the house who was chilling,
yeah.
you know. And now I feel like she realizes that her place in the house is not guaranteed. And that is a big wake up call to her.
Yeah.
You're starting to see her potential as well. Yeah.
Definitely. Kayla, I think, has really come out as a very strong player. She was in a position of power. She definitely lost that position of power this week, but she's already on her way back to becoming in power again. So very good on Kayla. We then get to the party segment, Godfrey. You love a party, right?
Oh, the party scene. Yeah.
I know Godfrey didn't see all of this episode, so I'll save you, Godfrey. The point that for me anyway about this party is that it took like 8 hours of feeds off time. Like, they shut down the feeds for like 8 hours.
Are you serious?
And they showed like yeah. what, 2 minutes of it. They showed like 2 minutes of the party. Taryn, they showed two girls kissing, which is always fun. And they showed
You guys are talking about like the in the hot tub.
Yes. And then they showed Olivia and Jesse flirting in the bathroom, and then Paris awkwardly comes in and comes out. So all fun stuff, but I don't really think it was worth the whole shutting down the feeds for 8 hours.
Yeah, it was weird because we heard a lot about this party, and we saw, I think, about
like, he was not quite sure what he was doing, you know. Yeah. I'm like, is he ready to risk it all?
Yeah, well, that was such a weird scene with Jesse and Olivia. It was very strange to me.
It wasn't strange to me at all. They wanted, like, they needed to just sleep together and get it over with. But it was obvious.
Exactly.
They both wanted to.
It seemed like they were sexually frustrated.
Yes, yes. And they're pissed off. They're on the block together. One of you is leaving. You might as well get it now.
Exactly.
Like, that was their chance.
Because that's what I thought it was when they were talking. I'm like, oh, these people, they're totally going to make out.
Because she wants him. I mean, we know that. And he, I think, wouldn't throw her out of bed. So,
but Jesse is so clueless. Like, I don't think he even realized the conversation when the girl was like, hey.
No, I think
like,
he
I cannot
that.
Control myself around you. Or
oh, no, right?
I'm distracted. I'm like, girl, you've been distracted. That's why you're on the block.
I think he's just used to that. Plus, he has his mind on Paris. So I think that's part of the problem.
And that's part of the strange thing is that we know from discussions afterward that Jesse and Paris hooked up that night. And like, did that happen before or after that Olivia conversation? Because that was just
after. It had to happen after.
I'm sure
he wouldn't be that cruel. No way.
Never know. I mean, he would have made out with Paris before that conversation if given the opportunity.
I think that Olivia got him going, and then Paris finished the job.
How successfully did
team
job? I don't know. I have no evidence. The feeds were not on.
And they can't even talk about it.
I know, they can't even talk about it. And that's the worst part, Taryn. I heard you bitching about this, but this is the worst, Godfrey. So they cut the feeds for 8 hours. Okay, fine. That's a terrible decision, but fine. And then every time the house guests start to talk about the party, they cut the feeds again.
No, are you serious?
So stupid. I'm like, it's just dumb. And all the information gets out anyway.
Down at that party.
Just so dumb.
Well, there is
that they maybe want to show later on, perhaps.
They showed it for 2 minutes tonight. Jesse's
gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I there's some talk that maybe Paris's parents have threatened.
Who are they? Do they own Global TV?
Come on.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it has anything to do with
Big Brother. Like, if people hook up on the show, it's gonna be public knowledge either way.
Yeah. But there's definitely something going on because Paris and Jesse, they did hook up at that party. They've been cutting the feeds every time it's mentioned. They didn't even show Paris trying to keep Jesse. I have a little bit of a conspiracy theory.
Go ahead.
When we saw Paris vote in the diary room, every other person that voted, there were boos when they said Jesse. When Paris voted Jesse out, there were boos, and there was one person in the audience clapping really hard. I have a feeling that person was related to Paris.
Oh, man.
That was her mom.
Exactly.
Vote him out. He's killing your game. Stop it.
That's why I feel like maybe it's got something to do with the circumstances of the hookup, you know?
It's something about it. I mean, it's a weird situation. I just feel like if they just showed it, like, it would be way less weird. It feels gross because it feels like there's something that's being hidden, but there's nothing wrong with any of it. So right. I'm not sure why
wrong with it at all. They're two good looking, great people, young people who are, you know, living with through their hormones and. Like they have every right to engage sexually or otherwise with each other. I mean, come on.
Yeah. We also missed what happened between Will and Veronica. They got into some drama. At one point, Olivia had splashed water at Paris, probably after that conversation Liv had with Jesse, then saw Jesse making out with Paris and got pissed and threw water at Paris saying, cool down. How does that not make TV?
How does that not make it? I am so with you on this, Taryn. We had a good old-fashioned cat fight, and they did not show us. I swear to God, Paris has some in with the BB Cam producers or something. Because also on the feeds yesterday, I think, she goes in to talk to Jesse. She starts to flirt with him, and she's like, oh, but the cameras are right there. Boom, the camera goes off right away. I mean, it was like Paris decreed that the camera should go off, and then it did. It did.
Yeah.
It's insanity. I'm over the moon about it.
Some strange stuff going on, Godfrey. So we then saw Will talking about some strategy. And again, this is a little bit portrayed strangely. I have another feeling. I think that Paris is like secretly the showrunner of Big Brother Canada. And I think that the editing for...
She's setting all the moves up.
Yeah, I think the editing for the show is based on how Paris sees the house. And that's why we're missing so much, because we get this conversation with Will and Paris, and he's explaining that we can't save Jesse because it'll piss off Hamza. And this is Hamza's plan. And that was
Taryn, he said, we gotta save Jesse because it'll piss off his plan. You know? This is Hamza's situation. We're going to do it.
I can understand Will perfectly. I don't understand. Godfrey, can you understand what Will says?
Like, at first, I couldn't really, like, get what he was saying, but I feel like now he's sort of growing on me.
See, yeah, there you go.
He's growing on me too. My favorite was the whole, and I'm sorry to interrupt your train of thought, Taryn. I had to go in on Will here. Like, we have a birthday party for Veronica. What? I have no idea what he said. They need subtitles for him. I really didn't know what he said. And then I saw the birthday party. I'm like, oh, a birthday party for Veronica. Now I'm with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
we have Will telling Paris that we can't save Jesse because it'll piss Hamza off, and this is Hamza's plan, and, you know, Veronica won't do it also because of Hamza. And this was Will's excuse to Paris for why he wouldn't flip. But this, again, was Will's idea in the first place, not to mention Johnny's, who has a second episode in a row where he is nowhere to be seen. Godfrey, this, like, Johnny is essentially the Mitch Moffitt of this season, where he's doing a ton of work and none of it's being shown on the episode.
Exactly. Because I'm like, what happened to Johnny? Like, this guy was sort of like a power player before, and now all of a sudden, we don't really see much about him. That is a bit strange.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I mean, the episode missed a lot of stuff with your game as well, Godfrey. A lot of people didn't see some of the stuff you were doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's a problem. It's a problem. It's like we're seeing this from Paris's point of view, where Paris is like, why is everyone doing this? Oh, just because of Hamza? Why would you listen to Hamza? And the editor is saying, because Hamza's a crazy, chaotic mastermind. And that's sort of the story we're getting, which is kind of weird. We also get a quick cleaning and dancing segment. Speaking of the dancing, we do have a sponsor for this episode. This is very cool because you just saw this on Big Brother Canada, and now you're seeing it on the recap of Big Brother Canada. It's Skip the Dishes. They are Canada's largest food delivery network that connects hungry customers with restaurants that don't typically do delivery through their GPS tracking system. Skip the Dishes gives you the opportunity to focus on what's important to you by having food delivered straight to your door. It's got an easy to use app that makes the process simple and stress-free. No more awkward phone ordering call or asking a million questions about the menu. This is very helpful. I hate menus. I hate reading things. I don't know what food is. I read food things and it's just like, what is that? But having a nice simple app, it's much better. I also really hate calling people. I do a podcast where I talk to people across the internet all the time, but I hate calling people. I would always prefer using an app. So Skip the Dishes, very, very helpful for me in particular, I must say. They have the largest selection of restaurants with over 10,000 options across Canada. They have partnerships with hundreds of brands, including Wendy's, as well as Freshie and Earl's. They've got free delivery available from thousands of restaurants across Canada. Lots and lots of great stuff there. And also the ability to see exactly where your courier is as they complete your order. It's basically like live feeds for your food order. You get to see exactly where they are as they're coming to you. It's great. It's awesome. I know when I'm busy watching live feeds, and I've got to update you on these live feeds every single day, I don't have time to go out and order food and go to restaurants. But what Skip the Dishes can allow me to do is order food from restaurants that I would otherwise have to drive to and sit down and all that nonsense because they don't deliver, and they make delivery. It adds value to the restaurants that you love, and it adds value to your life. So make sure you check it out. And again, can I just say, how cool is it? Skip the Dishes, a sponsor of Big Brother Canada, and Rob has a podcast. Both of them. See, these people, they know what they're doing, right? They know how to properly advertise to our audience, the Big Brother audience, the true fans. The true fans want Skip the Dishes. That's what I'm saying. So for all you true fans, get $7 off your first order of $15 or more by visiting skipthedishes.com and use the voucher code LFC at checkout. Do check availability in your city. So again, get your $7 off that first order of $15 or more by visiting skipthedishes.com. Use that voucher code LFC at checkout. That's right. We've got our own LFC voucher code. It's a cool service. They sponsor cool things. I'm all about Skip the Dishes. This is great. I love these guys. And now let's get back to the show. And this was a wonderful little escape from the game. Maybe it could have been spent on other things, but at the very least, Skip the Dishes. Make sure you check that out. Then we have Olivia. We get a segment about Olivia, who thinks that we should. I know I'm supposed to campaign, but it's just so tacky. I don't want to have to do that. Godfrey, what did you think when you heard this? Because saying that, like, oh, I know I'm playing Big Brother, but it's just really tacky to have to campaign and like play the game, Godfrey.
Like, to be honest, like, I feel like there's almost two ways to look at that. Like, at one point, I understand that you don't want to like kind of go, like, you don't want to go too hard, so to speak, but you still have to. Like, you still got a campaign, right? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Taryn, I submit again to you, and I'm hoping that more people will join me on this. How did this woman make it on the show? She doesn't even want to play the game. It's not like she's going to sleep and say, okay, I'm going to go to sleep and pretend like I'm not playing, and then I'm going
to
play.
I'm going to go to sleep and pretend like I'm not playing.
It's all beneath her. It is totally beneath her to play. She doesn't even seem to enjoy it. I'm surprised that she even gave a speech tonight. I would have liked for her to just say, nah, I'm good, and sit down when Arisa gave her 30 seconds. It boggles my mind how this person got into the house and other people don't. But whatever. Sorry, I sound down tonight, and I'm not down. It's just two things are happening. One, the guy I wanted to stay went home, and I thought he was really fighting for his life. And I know people say he's boring and Liv is, but Liv is more boring to me. And I thought Jesse had a little bit of fire in him, especially when he realized. Especially when he realized he wasn't stable in the house. He was really putting up a fight. That's number one. And number two, the relationships in the house are such at this point where it's very, very complicated. And while Taryn might enjoy that and really enjoy the, you know, interesting, intricate gameplay, all good. But someone like me likes my big brother a little bit simpler. And I don't kind of know who to root for at this point. I don't really have any heroes, but I also don't really have any villains. And so that's why it's maybe a little bit hard for me to take right now.
Yeah. Brent just has trouble processing complicated things.
I don't own that. I don't like it when I have, you know, there's all this fluidity in the house. I'm a little bit more like Hams, where I like, you know, seven people on this side, seven people on this side. That's why I love
BB. You want like a straightforward game, right?
Yeah.
Like one where people are weaving in and out.
And I feel like
it's hard to tell until the numbers are really slim where one's loyalties are, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And on your season, like, I mean, it did the house, as I saw, it didn't really gel until your non-eviction when Jordan went home. That was the point in time where I felt like, okay, I know who the people I'm rooting for are.
People had stole their cards at that point of the game.
Right, exactly. I'm rooting for these people over here, and I'm not rooting for these people. Let's go. You know what I mean? That's my kind of big brother. But I know people who may have a different taste level enjoy something that's happening right now. And Taryn, I was glad to see also that next week it's just a double eviction. That's all it is. There's no twist coming down the line. No coup to Jeff. Like that. Yeah, it's just a regular old double.
Yeah, the last season I remember that was very straightforward was Big Brother 19. So I'm not really itching to have a straightforward season. This is what happens, even though it wasn't portrayed on the show. This week has just been glorious in terms of, things are flipping and changing and there's drama and, you know, things are happening. Even at the last second, Jesse is making a pitch, and they did manage to cut this into the episode, which is very nice.
Good job.
Jesse slamming the door in Veronica's face, saying screw them, and making last minute pitches and potentially changing votes at the last second. Like, this is all amazing stuff, and this is stuff you can't get if it's a straightforward game, I think. So very, very great stuff on the feeds. Godfrey, you said you were rooting for Jesse here. What did you think of his last minute pitch to Hamza?
Yeah, like, and to be well, rooting for just like I was rooting for him at this point of the game.
Right,
right.
Throughout the game, like, not really, but I feel like he put up more of a fight. He was actually going out there. And I don't really credit Liv staying to her game and putting in work. I feel like people had just sort of decided that, you know what, we'd rather Jesse go than Liv. But Jesse, he was working, man, and he was making some valid points, going like, you know what? Even throwing up Dayla, going like, I don't want to be associated with them anymore. Like, I'm going to stay on your guy's side. Like, I'm going to fight. Like, I'm ready to play. Whereas Liv, we're just kind of like, well, I'm not a threat, guys. And it's like, yeah, you're not a threat, but are you on my side too at the same time? So, like, you know, like, I just kind of felt for the guy. I feel like he went on the block. It was so unexpected. He was probably expecting to be jury, to go really deep in the game, and he just got hit with a curveball. And, like, he started fighting way too late.
Yeah.
Like, he should have branched out of the real deal earlier on. But I feel like he tried approaching the people at the other house just too late in the game when his back's against the wall. And he doesn't seem as genuine anymore. Like, you've been cuddling up with, what's her name, Paris, for the entire 2 weeks and chilling with your boy Derek. And now all of a sudden you want to be buddy-buddy with the rest of the house. So I feel like, you know, that really, that hurt him.
Yeah,
I was just going to say really quickly, you know, I told you I could find five votes for him to stay. The one person who was voting against him, and I think was always voting against him, was Erica. And that's the person who I felt like, out of everybody, I felt like it was not within her best interest to evict him. I think when she's as big of a threat as she is, both socially and comp beast wise, I feel like it's better for her to have somebody like that in the game. People like Liv always worry me if I played Big Brother, because I'm always asking myself, if I end up on the block next to her, I'm going to be evicted. Because nobody wants to take her out. I mean, you have to get players like this out early, otherwise they go to the end of the game. I mean, like, just pencil Liv in for final five at this point.
That's the danger.
Yeah.
But also think about this, Brett, though. Like, at the same time, yes, Liv is scary in that sense. But Jesse is also scary for the fact that he can actually, like, here's the way I look at it. I feel like a Liv player is more dangerous if you wind up on the block with her. But as long as you avoid the block, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, yeah. How much experience do you have avoiding the block, Godfrey? I want to know.
Yeah, that's true. But see, I was the Liv, so I wasn't worried. I was like, if you're next to me, you should be worried. But like, yeah, so I feel like Liv, you should be worried if you plan on going on the block or if you see yourself nominated in the near future. But somebody like Jesse is somebody you worry about in terms of influence in the house and being able to rally a crew and take you out. I feel like Jesse had much more potential in actually building a little group, a little gang, than Liv does. I just feel like Liv would not be able to get even four people and make an alliance. But I feel like Jesse is somebody who could make an alliance. And had he been given maybe like a few more days, he might have worked something out. He might have made some deals. Whereas Liv is just kind of like, hey, don't worry about me. I'm just going to relax. So I feel like they're both dangerous in their own way. But if I'm thinking later down the game, I do not want somebody like Liv at all. But early in the game, I don't want somebody like Jesse, because that's the guy who can start a little movement going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, Tiernan, it was always about who he was aligned with too, wasn't it? For Jesse, more than anything. It wasn't so much Jesse himself. I think that people maybe didn't necessarily fear him. He went 0-5 in comps, but he was really aligned with Derek and Kayla and maybe a little bit Paris. And it was a little bit too much cool kids for people. And they just, they really feared that, you know, that threesome moving forward if they left him in the game.
Yeah, I really see Jesse as a pretty good player that just kind of caught a bad break, didn't respond to it well immediately, and it took too long to correct his poor reaction, and really just kind of out of nowhere got sent home. I think that he was correct to be low key, and he just really it didn't really make sense to target him over the showmans. Like Hamza, the reasons Hamza targeted Jesse were really convoluted and out there. Like I'm targeting the showmans, but I'm really targeting Liv. But now I've bonded with Derek, so I by default Jesse's going to go up next to my real target, Liv. But now that I've won the veto, Jesse slammed the door in my face and he said a name. He said Johnny's name, and so now Johnny's mad. And Johnny's convincing us, and like it really came out of nowhere. And even then, Jesse really did put up a pretty decent fight. Something that the episode didn't show is that he kind of did convince Hamza to change his mind. Hamza was never really able to get anywhere with that because Will and then Marin and then Johnny would not let him get anywhere with that thought. But if Will and Johnny and Marin hadn't been so dead set on taking Jesse out, now that the opportunity had been presented to them, I think Hamza would have tried to flip this vote. And I think Veronica would have gone along with it as well.
Well, she did. She did go along with it. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out why she voted the way she did. She had to know the vote was going to go against Jesse. So it's so hilarious. He slammed the door in her face. And yet that was one of the votes that he got, which just tickles me to no end. Yeah, rough game for him. I agree with you. We had him in the stock watch last week. Melissa bought him because she thought he was so safe. And he, you know, the one person I really do believe this. The only person in the house that he would have gone home on was Hams. If anybody else, but other than Hams, wins HOH, or if Veronica takes it instead of Hams, Jesse does not end up on the block. And he 100%. Probably goes deep into this game. It's just so much luck happens in Big Brother sometimes.
What do you guys think Veronica gave him her vote, though? Do you think that was genuine or just like a toss-up vote?
She's like, again, she's like my kind of player because she just doesn't give a, you know what? She really doesn't. She's like, I don't care if it's 10 to 1. I can be the one. And I honestly believe that. Because she even said earlier in the week, like, let's just all vote how we want to vote. And let's just let that be our own decision. So, you know, she's trying to play the honest game where, you know, like everyone just makes their own decisions independently from each other. And then we all go in the voting booth and just see what happens. You know, so.
Oh, and I just remembered what's her name? Olivia brought her name up when she was being asked, who do you want to go home next week? And she said the new people. So that might be a little screw.
Yeah, but then
votes,
she got off that train, Godfrey. Like, I mean, like she heard her and Will were in the bathtub and they heard her say that, you know, that Olivia's saying, I'm going to put up the newbies or I would put up the newbies or I would target them.
Yeah.
And then she kind of forgot about that. And Jesse seemed like the bigger target, even though Jesse was never coming after Veronica. The fact that Veronica, and I know she was like the third or fourth person in line, you know, insofar as this plan happening with Johnny and Will and all that with Hams, Taryn. But the fact that she didn't put up more of a fight when the plan eventually got to her, I felt like was a bit of a bad look for her as well.
Yeah, there's some speculation that Veronica will be trying to blame somebody else for this vote. Like she's casting a true hanky vote here.
Right.
That she's potentially going to blame somebody like Kayla or even maybe Ryan. We do have a question from RJ on Twitter. Who is most likely to get blamed for the hanky vote? Do we think it's Paris, Kayla, Ryan? It could be any one of those people.
Veronica.
And I think
you can't keep her mouth shut. Give me a break here. She ain't gonna be able. She is a Big Brother 101 level replacement minus player. There's no way she's gonna be able to keep her mouth shut for any length of time and blame this on somebody convincingly. Do you think, Godfrey?
I don't think so. Yeah, like you said, she cannot keep her mouth shut.
She really can't. Yeah, she's like me.
Like she's about it and say, hey. I told you know, like, I threw a curveball or what? Like, yeah, she's gonna definitely wanna claim that.
Yeah, because Taryn, think of it this way: if it works, then she's gonna want to claim credit for it, and she's not going to just tell people in the diary room. She's gonna tell somebody in the house, or maybe two people, or maybe three people. But then one of those people is gonna tell somebody else, and eventually the whole house is gonna find out. So it's never gonna.
I don't think anybody really cares, man. You know?
Yeah.
Like when you switch a vote, I feel like when people care. Is when the vote actually has some sort of consequence to the outcome of the game.
Right.
If it was like a 5-4 vote or a 6-5 and somebody wins by one vote, then people are going to be like, who the hell did that? You almost ruined the plan. But when the vote was almost unanimous except for one person, then like I don't feel like people are really going to even want to spend time investigating. They're probably just going to assume, well, you know, maybe somebody just voted the wrong way. Who knows?
Yeah. Also, I think it's not as a big of a deal when it's not jury yet. Like if it's jury and people see you, obviously, you know, trying to pander.
You're trying to pamper them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to pander to the jury, trying to get votes. Then people might give you the side eye like, hey, we all decided we were going to vote this person out. But the fact that it's pre-jury, I feel like no one's really going to care.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is this might make for exciting feeds later on, but I probably not a good move for Veronica. I have a feeling this is going to just cast her in even more sort of shady light. And she's going to be in a bit of trouble for it. But we'll see.
And one thing I find interesting is the difference in the way that kind of two gate crashes are played. Veronica is playing a little more really out there game, whereas Maren took the totally opposite. It's like they're almost kind of like two different sides of a coin, you know, like the way they're playing it. And it will be interesting to see whose approach ends up working better. The much more aggressive approach and the way more boring, dead, toned down approach.
Yeah. I have a feeling, even if Veronica ends up lasting longer in the game, I think that, Maren has a much better shot at winning the game, ultimately. I don't know if Veronica commands a lot of respect.
I think she commands more than Maren does. I think people look at Maren like he's just so pathetic. Like he doesn't have any. Any friends? He has
that's
no.
That's how you see him, Brent.
No, I really do. No, you saw how Erica dismissed him when they were studying for the HOH competition.
Well, that's because Erica doesn't like.
Oh well, okay. Well, let's see then. But I do think that I honestly do believe this, that Veronica has more influence and it has more respect in the house. Not a lot, but it has more respect in the house than Maren currently does. And I do believe, given the right circumstances, that Veronica could win the game at the end.
I mean, it's Big Brother Canada, so anybody can win.
Oh my God, there's been no twist. You ain't got no reason to complain.
I'm just saying anybody can win Big Brother Canada. I think history has proved that. Godfrey didn't win Big Brother Canada, I think, which proves that anybody can win Big Brother Canada. If anybody can beat Godfrey in the end, then everything we know is
up. Saved yourself there. Definitely, anybody can win.
Yes. Yeah. Because you know, it's just the way things go on Big Brother Canada. So we have another question from Hope on Twitter, who asks Godfrey, who do you think could be the sleeping giant of the season?
I got a lot of nominees. I feel like Maren has strong potential, and like, it really comes down to two. For the girls, I think it's Maddie, and for the guys, I think it's Maren. Like, they definitely are giving me flashbacks. You know, they took a page out of my book. You know, they got the sleeping giant strategy working for them a little bit. And I really think either one of them, it's a toss-up right now, but either one of them could be the new sleeping giant. You know, all they need is that one strong veto speech, survive eviction a couple of times, and there you have it, you know? Yeah.
The person that we haven't brought up tonight, or one of the people we haven't brought up tonight, is Ryan. I mean, I haven't even, like, you know, he had his HOH reign and then he just went back to sleep. He annoyed the living hell out of me during his HOH reign. So if he gets HOH again, God help us all. But I think that he could be somebody who could just, you know, sort of, if he can just keep his mouth shut and not annoy people, I feel like he's got a good shot to be the sleeping giant and sort of just like,
Ryan's trying to redeem himself for the shenanigans he pulled.
Yeah, exactly.
Godfrey, how would you have handled Ryan letting you know how to play the game because he's watched over 800 hours of it?
Oh my God. I feel like Ryan is just one of those people I couldn't stand in the house.
Yeah.
And know it all, who's trying to tell you how much he knows about the game and like how great of a player is. And it's one thing if a type of player like that is actually putting in work and doing moves. You could actually respect that and say, oh, this man's trying to mentor me. Let me listen. Let me learn something. But with Ryan, it's like, dude, you nominated the only two guys who were your friends in the house. And then when you realized that you totally messed up, you started scrambling and coming up with ridiculous plans to save the people. Like, this guy was going around telling people that, hey, you need to throw the veto, man. And then they're like, okay, why? Who are we throwing it to? You? And he's like, no. You're throwing it to the nominees, and they're like, okay. And they got to take themselves off, and it will be like, yeah. And they'll be like, okay, and who's going to go on? Don't worry about it. I know this game. I've watched 26 seasons. And like, I just feel like it was patronizing.
Yep.
And for a guy who hasn't really done anything, it's not like he took out a major player. He literally did nothing. So like, yeah, like I, and then on top of that, like literally sitting people down, coming into rooms and telling them that, hey, this is the way you gotta vote, after telling them how to throw the veto, then tell them who to evict. I just feel like he overplayed it. And I really hope he gets to a moment of self-awareness and realizes that, yes, you have watched a lot of seasons. Kudos to that. But that does not always equate to being good at the game. It doesn't even mean anything. Like, you could have watched every season imaginable, but you still got to show up. So yeah, like, I'm just annoyed at Ryan. And what makes it worse is that I was rooting for him pre-cast. Mm-hmm. Like, that was one of the guys because he talked such a big game. But now it seems like he was just selling wolf tickets. And he was like a diary room warrior who's not really down for the action when it comes down to it. So yeah, like, I'm not impressed by Ryan at all. And I could rant on for hours about how he's played a horrible game. I feel like the smartest thing he's done thus far is to shut up, let the other people play. That will be impressive to me. But I just feel like he was one of those eager fans who want to earn the respect of the fan base right away. And then it just, it didn't work out. Yeah, so not impressed. Yeah, I don't know what your guys' take on him, but like I'm not liking Ryan at all.
Yeah, this I'm with you.
Toned down answer of that. Like I could say more.
I'm with you, Godfrey. I don't like know-it-alls either. I have no patience for know-it-alls. So, Taryn,
they're the worst.
They're the worst. Yeah, really. Yeah.
Godfrey, we have a question from Mike on Twitter who asks, if you were in the house, who would you want to align with?
That's interesting. Yeah, because I've always been a lone wolf, and I don't really like aligning myself with anybody in the house.
There's another one in the house.
I feel like when you're aligned, you have no power. Like, I like to be a free agent. But if we're going to speak hypothetically here, then, and if I have to answer, then I definitely say I would like to align myself with someone like Olivia or Maddie.
Yeah.
And the reason for that being that I feel like they have a lot more longevity in the game. And I feel like the reason I'd want to align myself with somebody like Liv is because of the same things that you two raised early on, where you said that Liv is the type of player who's just going to skate by and not really a lot of people are going to take her out until it's too late. So I feel like the benefit of having somebody like Liv is that you know she's going to be there. She's going to be around for long. And you know she's not going to be a target for long. So that's a vote for you in the house for a guaranteed at least 4 or 5 weeks, as opposed to aligning yourself with like a power player, kind of like, you know, Hamza or any of the other people making drastic moves. I feel like those people are not really going to stick around a lot. And on top of that, you being aligned to them is going to bring heat to you versus you being aligned to like a weaker player or softer player like a Maddie. No one's really going to say, oh boy, we're going to get rid of Godfrey because he's with Maddie. You know, people are actually probably going to laugh and say, look, he's with Maddie. He can't do nothing. But it's like, oh, you think? Whereas if you're with Hamza, oh boy, the way Hamza is burning bridges left, right, and center, that's not the kind of guy you want on your team. And a lot of people feel like, oh, since he's winning HOHs, that protects them. But I'm like, no, that's just putting painting a bigger target on your back. So I definitely want a low-key player, preferably Liv, since she has already shown that she can survive eviction. She's tried and tested. Liv, Ali, give me any one of them, they're going to be my final two.
Yeah, you know, and I have to say, you know, I don't have much good things to say about Liv's game, but she didn't freak out when she went on the block, Taryn. She behaved in a pretty amicable manner and was pretty tolerable in the house. And that's not something that, look, as we saw with Jesse, not everybody can do that.
She was even told this morning by Hamza that they were that Hamza was thinking about flipping the vote against her, and it was 50-50. And she even responded to that decently well. So yeah. When you don't care, it gives you a certain amount of power. Dr. Wilt noticed that.
Right.
Godfrey, I have a very important question to ask you. On March 16th, you tweeted out that you would personally write a $1,000 check to whichever house guest evicts the showmances and send them home packing pre-jury. Godfrey, does Jesse count as one of the showmances? Are you going to be giving Hamza $1,000?
Well, like, I'm going to be giving him $200 since he's gotten one-fourth of the showmances. If he takes out the other three, then, hey, the $1,000, it's his. Like, I'm telling you guys, I'm not playing games. Like, I'm like, hey, and I think he might have seen my tweet, because he was quick to put in Jesse after that. You know? He went to Ryan out, but it's like, oh, you know, you using the grapevine is Godfrey's offering $1,000. Let me get these showmances out.
Yes, that was the true motivation. We've all been wondering, like, what has been going on in Hamza's head all week? It's that he clearly, you know, he saw Godfrey's tweet. That's what happened.
I'm telling you, my production sources, they spread the word there.
Yeah, you put in the word with Paris, and she got it to Hamza. I don't know if Paris likes it though.
Put in the word with Paris.
All right. Well, we do have some spoilers from for who won the HOH. So, are you guys ready? Are you guys ready to hear?
Yes, we are ready.
You ready for this, Godfrey?
Godfrey's ready.
Yep.
All right. So get out of here if you don't want to hear who won the HOH, even though you really should have been able to see it on the episode.
I just want to give you credit. I thought for sure, given that this was a quick competition, I thought for sure that they would show us the results on tonight's competition. But no, on the feed update in the morning, Taryn was like, I'm afraid it's going to be one of these, you know, three questions, and then join us on Monday for the conclusion of the HOH competition, even though by then we've already had the veto and the veto ceremony and the nominees go by. So kudos to you for predicting that that's exactly what Arissa was going to say, and that's exactly what they did.
It is exactly what they did. So we do have an HOH winner. Again, get out of here if you don't want to hear it. This is the spoiler song. Booze, spoilers, get out of here. All right. Erica is our new HOH, and I don't even know why she won this HOH. She had done so well. She was safe last week. She was so quiet, so playing exactly what she needed to do to lower her place on the radar after winning that veto competition, and now she's HOH, and who does she even need to go after, because nobody's coming after her? I don't really understand this. Godfrey, what do you have any thoughts on this? Because I know you are an infamous HOH thrower. How do you feel about this as somebody who didn't need to win HOH? Should she have won this? Or Brent, you can also answer.
I'll answer. No, she didn't. No, of course not. She didn't need to win this. I mean, I have to believe. This is the only thing I'll say. I think this was stupid of her to win this. But if she won it because she didn't want to be a have-not for the third week in a row, then I can sort of.
Honestly, I feel like if I'm going to.
Go ahead, Godfrey. We didn't.
I think
hear
we
you.
Might be. I think we were having some connection issues.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can't hear you, Godfrey. Why don't you?
Yeah, we're the connection's dropping out. So if you can like bounce out, come back in, or something along those lines. I know Godfrey also had a limited amount of time with us. So hey, Godfrey,
maybe can you kick him off and then so he'll come back or not?
Well, hopefully he'll hear me. We can just continue talking about Erica here. But you know, Erica. I don't think she needed to win this, but the plan that she had been talking about was potentially putting up Maddie and Ryan and then backdooring, and this is coming from Allie more than Erica, but the
can you guys
hey Godfrey, we need you to bounce out and come back in potentially. The plan from Allie was to get Veronica backdoored potentially. Veronica.
Yeah, hello. I think I got you guys now.
Oh, okay. Here we go. There's Godfrey. All right,
Godfrey, we said. Well, let Taryn finish his thought, and then we're going to come to you on your thoughts on Erica's HOH. Taryn, finish what you were saying.
Yes. So the plan might be, because Veronica was caught double dealing. She was caught lying to both sides, and I think she's going to be caught with this hinky vote, and because of that, I think she will be even more of a target to people like Allie and potentially Erica. So I think there's a large chance that Veronica is in trouble this week. She definitely has allies that can try convince Erica to protect her, but she might be in trouble. Marin also in trouble because Erica doesn't like Marin.
Would be like kind of like a sweet two for the price of one deal with Erica, since she doesn't like Marin and Veronica has kind of like put a foot in her mouth. You feel like she's gonna put both of them up, right?
It's possible. They've also talked about Maddie a lot. I think really the four people in danger right now are Ryan, Maddie, Veronica, and Marin. I think those are the people that need to be worried this week. Unless
not Paris.
Paris, I think, is actually okay. Allie feels really good about Paris. Erica feels okay about Paris. It's really those four. So unless something crazy happens this week, like it did last week, where it just went totally into left field, we probably will see a more stable HOH, but you never know. And
come on, it has to be more stable than Hamza.
Oh, certainly more stable than last week. But
that was such a bad move, though, from Erica to win the HOH, because I just don't see how it's going to benefit her at this stage. I feel like she was sitting in such a good position.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
she should just do what Johnny's doing, just relax.
I know, Gottfried. I said two things. One, I think she's been have not for 2 weeks in a row. I don't think she wanted to be have not for 3 weeks in a row. It's really wearing on her, especially someone who you know feels competitive and doesn't want to be on slop for the rest of her life. And two, given what the results of what happened with Jesse in last week, I mean, I can't blame anybody. I don't know, maybe Taryn, you disagree, but I don't really blame anybody for not wanting to throw a competition, given how wacko that was for Jesse to be evicted after I was thought he was totally safe going into the week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
interesting.
Yeah, it's possible, but
that was so fluky. You think it's just like it's not worth it? Really that long was.
I think, like you said, anybody but Hamza and Jesse is totally fine there. And even then, like if Jesse had been a little more on top of his social game,
or if Kayla and Derek had won the have not competition,
yeah. So. If they hadn't been have nots, if any one of them had won veto, there are all sorts of things that could have saved Jesse from his fate. But it is. I think the downsides to winning HOH are much greater than the potential downsides of like
you're safe.
Yeah. Godfrey, you are the king of throwing competitions in Big Brother Canada. So you have a strong stance on this, right?
Yeah. Like, cause like me, like I just like, I feel like your social game is the most important thing you can have in the house because you cannot always win every HOH. And on top of that, especially in Big Brother Canada, there's always going to be twists that could royally screw your game up. So I feel like unless you have done such a great job at making yourself not seem like a threat, that's the most important thing that you got to be worried about, not so much the HOH. And on top of that, HOH this early on, you're burning a lot of bridges. Because Erica, I feel like anybody she puts on except for maybe Olivia or Ali, she's gonna burn bridges. Cause like any decision you make, any nomination you make, that's a message to the house that this is who you're aligned with. If you put up Veronica, you're showing Will that, hey, I don't have your best interests at heart. Cause you can clearly tell that Will and Veronica are kind of tight. The same way you put in Marin, that's a message to Hamza. So I just feel like at this point, it's really not that necessary because the house, yes, there are factions, but it's not split in the middle where you can win and be celebrated by your half saying, oh God, you know, you got this one for us. Now we're all safe. And I just feel like Dayla, I'm not going to be super grateful if she keeps them off the block this week. They're just going to say, oh, you did us a solid. But like, I don't feel like that's going to go down a long way. So I just feel like it was too early for her to win the HOH, especially when nobody has really brought up a name, right? But like you said, the downsides, if you know, better HOH than not HOH, because like, you know, at least you know you're not going home.
Yeah, I mean, I think she was definitely in a much better position last week, just having the immunity and being able to not have to deal with the crazy Hamza rain than she will be this week. And I think a lot of people are going to be vying to influence her one way or another, especially after the crazy week that was last week. I am seeing some updates as well that Veronica is, in fact, trying to pin her vote on somebody else. And it seems like right now, people are thinking that Paris was potentially really? This other vote, Godfrey.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Like, if she's successful, she might just deflect that target offer, but who knows?
I don't think she'll be able to keep her mouth shut. She'll tell somebody and then it'll get out. You'll see.
Do you think Erica will probably not even really believe her, right? Yeah.
I don't know that Erica cares. I think Erica would put her up with, regardless of whether or not she voted for Jesse to stay.
And that's the thing about hinky votes and these kinds of things in general is that it's very difficult to pull off because it only really works if it never really gets out, if there's never an inquisition, because it seems like right now that Veronica is leading the inquisition in terms of like, oh, who was it? Who was it? But like if it gets out and people question Paris, you can usually tell if somebody is telling the truth. Like if Paris is like, seriously, it was not me. You usually believe that. And the truth usually kind of it gets out. Steve Moses is one of the few people that I've ever seen get away clean from casting a hinky vote.
When was that, by the way?
That's you barely even remember it.
Oh, yeah.
It was like week three or something. And he, I don't remember, I don't even remember who he voted for.
All right, right.
But he lied straight to Vanessa's face and she bought it. And so like, it's just, it's something that it often gets out. It was one of the causes of the demise of the moving company. And
the moving company.
Yes. I just spoke with Spencer Clausen on the Terran show. Funny enough, he now works at a moving company.
That is funny. The moving company.
You know, speaking of the moving company, did you see that Nick Juhas is going to do, he's going to be hosting Card Sharks on Buzzer Entertainment. So that is very cool as well.
It is kind of funny because Jesse did remind me of Nick Juhas a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Where like, I mean, for as silly as Nick Juhas is, I do think he had potential that went unlived in the Big Brother house. He kind of got cut short by that VIP twist. And one bad mistake in talking to Alyssa ended up sinking his game. But I think Jesse had more potential than Nick Juhas did. But very, very funny stuff. Reminiscing about good old times in Big Brother 15. So it looks like this is going to be an interesting week. It looks like Paris is crying to Erica right now.
Good.
Yes.
Throw yourself on the mercy of the court.
and also, like, if Paris is crying and being genuine about the fact that she's sad that Jesse left, then why would she lie about not voting for him? Like, and I think that's what Paris will say. Like, if I did that, I would just tell you guys because I don't think it's a big deal. And I think people will believe that. I think people generally believe Paris when she tells them things, even though she was completely ineffectual at saving Jesse this week. So I think that this blame probably is not going to land on Paris. Godfrey, did you ever consider casting a hinky vote in the game?
He was always nominated.
Yeah, exactly. I was always on the block. I don't even remember the few times I actually got a chance to vote.
Right.
But like, it never really crossed my mind, to be honest, you know, because at one point I actually did, but like it wouldn't have been like a hinky vote. It would have been an actual vote to evict somebody. Like I thought at one point, I think it was it was Peely and Zach on the block. And I wanted to cast a vote against Peely and blame it on Ashley to kind of cause friction amongst them. And I really thought about it, but the reason I didn't end up doing it, because I was like, come on, Godfrey, like these two girls,
right,
they have a bond. They know each other.
Right.
And she's going to trust what comes from Peely before she trusts me, you know? So like, I just felt like I wouldn't have been able to pull it off and it would have done more harm than good if people did find out I was lying, you know? It would have just given me a bad image. So yeah.
But
I did consider it.
Was going to say, like, you never had a chance really to do a hinky vote because early on in the game, you didn't do it. And then as the game moved on, when there's like, you know, four people voting or three people voting, you can't do a hinky vote then, even if you're not nominated. So there was never a chance for it. I understand.
Yeah, and I remember from Big Brother Canada 3 when, I think Cindy tried to do this twice, actually, or maybe she makes a lot of mistakes twice. But one of the mistakes she made was on your big blindside of Jordan, Godfrey, was that she tried to pretend.
She tried to blame it on someone else.
Exactly. Yeah.
Dumbest move ever.
And it totally backfired on her. Like, she was not able to get away with that. And she ended up leaving that week, and that was certainly one of the reasons. A lot of history repeats itself on Big Brother, Godfrey.
Exactly. Like, you really have to know where you stand before you can start trying to, you know, vote one way and, you know, actually convince people that you did not do it. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to bring up before we wrap this podcast up here?
Nope. I just wanted to see, like, your kind of guys' idea on who you think is playing the most strategic game right now, because I feel like we don't really have a clear cut favorite or runner up in terms of that.
I mean, I personally would say Johnny is playing. I don't mean to overpraise him. I think people on Twitter might get annoyed at Taryn overpraising Johnny. No shade, Taryn, but I do genuinely think that he is playing a remarkable game thus far for somebody who won HOH and Vito in the first week, and I thought was just playing
I know, right?
Utterly terrible.
And it's not even like a thought at this point. Like, I almost forgot Johnny was in the house. And I'm like, Godfrey, are you forgetting that he got out the first person, one veto? And I was so mad on Twitter, like, you ruined your game.
Right.
And then now I've almost forgotten he's even in the house. So that's pretty impressive.
Well, you saw in that scene with Jesse when he was, you know, putting them all in the room and then talking to them. I mean, Johnny was like in the back in the shadows, like he was not in the front whatsoever. And maybe that just been happenstance insofar as where they were standing. But to me, it was emblematic of his gameplay and how he's moving forward and in the game thus far. So that's why I would say Johnny.
Yeah, and I agree. And you know, anybody that thinks that I'm overpraising Johnny, they're not paying close enough attention, because I'm saying what Johnny is doing, which is genuinely he was the leading cause of this vote flipping against Jesse. He's basically the reason, him and Will, but he was the one that really convinced people to flip, and that was the key part of taking Jesse out. So you know, we have Johnny to thank for Jesse leaving. Johnny is,
and the DR didn't even give him any credit for that.
Exactly.
No, never.
Not in any part of either episode. Johnny is also a person who is in with every single person in the house. He's included in almost every single alliance, but not like solidly. They're just like, oh yeah, and we've got Johnny too. So he's not even going to be targeted as being associated with them because he's not the solid allies.
Right. That sounds very familiar to me, because Steve Moses has always talked about the fact that you always want to be at the bottom of the alliance. You never want to be the head of the alliance, because the head always gets cut off. You always want, because if your side wins, then you're safe. And if the other side wins or another block wins, they're always going to target the head. And if you're not the head, then you're safe if you're at the bottom. So yeah, I like his position.
Yeah, and something else that the episode didn't show was that in part of Jesse's last minute scrambling, the one person he went to and told, he spilled everything to was Johnny. He went to Johnny and said, look, I'm just going to spill my entire game. Again, not realizing Johnny is the reason he's going home.
That was the thing.
And he's spilling everything to Johnny. Look, day one, I made an alliance with Derek and Kayla.
Oh,
like we did this thing. We were with Paris, and like we did this other stuff. And we were with Will. We had a boys alliance with Will, and he turned on us.
Johnny knows all of that now.
He knows everything. Yes, and so Johnny's like on top of all of this information. He's convincing people to do stuff, and not as far as the TV watchers are concerned, he's not even on the show.
Yeah, because I would have never guessed. I just thought that he had just gone back under the radar, but I didn't know he was actually, he's still actively working.
Yeah.
See, that's what I meant. That's what I was hoping Paris and Marin are also doing. That, yes, it's good to be under the radar and not be involved in what's going on, but you still got to work a little bit, you know?
I think you can
still work under the covers without hurting yourself.
I think that Johnny is actively moving the game forward. I think that Marin is making social bonds, but not moving the game forward. I think that Paris is trying to move the game forward and is being unsuccessful at doing so.
Paris was moving the game forward back when she was putting the target on Allie and Olivia, which could have worked, but she was basically stopped dead in her tracks by Johnny, who then said, no, we're going in this direction. And the great part is she doesn't know that it's Johnny that stopped her. Yep. And so ever since then, she's just been spinning her wheels.
Johnny going like, Johnny, they won't listen.
And she's been talking to him like, I need a buddy to talk to that I can just lay it all out there for. And he's like, okay, come here. I'll listen. Yeah.
It's great stuff. It's great stuff, Godfrey. All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. Do we have a hashtag for this episode? Let me know in the chat if you guys have any ideas. Godfrey, let me know if you have an idea for a hashtag.
Absolutely.
All right.
While we're waiting on that, I will tell you that you can find me at One Lucky Gay, one spelled out. I'm doing the recap of RuPaul's Drag Race season 10 premieres tonight. I actually haven't watched it yet, so I'm not even looking at the chat room in case you're trying to spoil me right now. But I'm going to go watch it, and it should be fun to cover with Mike Bloom and Liana Boris. And we will have that out for you sometime this weekend.
Very fun. Make sure you check out my ex interview with Jesse tomorrow. I think what we're going to do. What's that? Yeah. I think we're going to combine that with the live feed update tomorrow, which will so the live feed update will be at 10 a.m. Eastern. And then I'll be talking with Jesse, I think at around 1:30 ish. And then we're going to glue those two things together, release them as one audio podcast product. So make sure you check that out. And then, of course, make sure you check out the Taran show that I mentioned with Spencer Clausen. Very fun. We talked about a lot of different things. Spencer, somebody whose life was essentially destroyed by Big Brother. So a lot to talk about there.
I don't know why.
I'm sorry. I need to play that back. But when I listen to the recording of this, this is a guy whose life was destroyed by Big Brother.
Yeah, Godfrey,
Godfrey just loves destruction. He just loves the blood.
So good. Oh,
just the way you said it. You said it so casually. You're like, his life was destroyed by Big Brother. This could be like one of his accomplishments.
Please, he's back on his feet now. Like it's all right now. He's doing all right. So make sure you check that out. Godfrey, we gotta get you on the Taran show at some point.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to be back on, you know, like especially when the numbers slim down, just to discuss it again, you know, see how far the game's changed from now. Absolutely. You know,
We've also got to talk about you, Godfrey. I'm sure you've got tons of stories to tell me. We'll do an interview at some point.
Hell yeah. Like, you know, just hit me up. I'm down.
Okay. All right. Okay. So make sure you check all that out. We'll be back on Monday night. Rob will be hosting the recap of the Monday night episode of Big Brother Canada 6. I saw hashtag woke out the door because Jesse kept saying I'm woke in his desperate plea.
Okay. All right.
Woke
I like
out
it.
The door.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I like that. All right. So, yes, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taran. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Godfrey, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at The Lady Pleaser and on Instagram at Godfrey Manguiza.
All right. So for Godfrey and Brent, I am Taran Armstrong. Hashtag woke out the door. We'll see you next time.